Luke chapter 1, 39 to 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God."
It was the fourth Sunday in Advent in 1990. I was in the sanctuary of Central Congregational United Church of Christ in Atlanta, Georgia. It was decorated with greens, just like our sanctuary is today. It is a beautiful sanctuary, non-traditional in some ways. It is like a Greek amphitheater. So you enter up on this level, and then the pews slope down to the chancel, and all of the windows and the walls and the around the sanctuary are glass, and it looks out into the beautiful North Georgia woods. The Advent candles were lit, just as ours are. The scripture text for the day was Luke 1, Mary's visit with Elizabeth and her song of joy, the Magnificat, like we have just heard. We had a three-month-old in the nursery, and our four-year-old was safely ensconced with dear friends of ours in the pews. And we, my former husband and I, had been invited to deliver a version of the scripture in the form of a song. So he began the guitar accompaniment, and I began with, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exults in God my Savior. For God has looked upon my lowliness, and my name shall be forever exalted." I noticed there was a slight disturbing rustle in the pew where my four-year-old was sitting. But we concentrated on the song. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. God's mercy exceeds from age to age." The rustle grew louder. And out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw the four-year-old escape from the pew. OMG! Just keep singing. So we headed into the refrain,
And holy, holy, holy is God's name.
And then we saw him. There he was, lying down horizontally across the middle aisle, and which sloped down to the front, remember? And he was slowly rolling toward us. Just as children roll down a grassy hill, only in slow motion. Rolling in time to our music. What do you do? You just keep singing. You try to unsee what you have just seen your child do. You keep singing, and I must tell you that our harmony was never so focused, so in tune, and so precise. After the service, I said to our four-year-old wonder child, "Can you tell me why you did that? Did you want some attention? Are you feeling neglected because now you have to share mommy and daddy with your baby brother?" "No, mommy. I just liked your song." "I just liked your song." He liked the song, so he responded to it with his whole being, nods the mother of two-year-old twins. She knows this. In uninhibited four-year-old fashion, "Oh, that we who are way past 4 years old could remember how to respond to the songs of God with our whole beings and body and heart, mind and soul. Oh, that we could remember how to say yes to God with our whole selves, like the peasant girl, Mary, like the unfettered, freely giving four-year-old." Do you think we can? The late New Testament scholar Raymond Brown wrote that all the canticles, the songs that we hear sung in the Gospel of Luke, including this song of Mary, were songs of a group of first century Jewish Christians who staked their lives on God's abundance, as they knew it in the Hebrew Scriptures. Throughout the stories and the Psalms and the history and the prophecy of the Hebrew Scriptures, God calls continually to God's people to move out of the myth of scarcity and into a lyric of abundance. In God's providence, there is enough for all. If we live in this lyric, we will share all the abundance given to creation and to humanity, and there will always be enough for all. These early Jewish Christians were called the Anawim, the poor ones. Now, while this group may have been, some of them, physically poor, Brown tells us that their name also came to be associated with those who could not trust their own strength, but had to rely in utter confidence upon God. Living in stark contrast to the Anawim were the rich, those who were literally rich, as well as those who showed no need for God through pride and self-sufficiency, even if they were not financially wealthy. Sound familiar? Mary's song is a lyric of abundance. A song of the Anawim, the poor ones, those who rely fully on God, who respond to God with faith in God's lyric of abundance with a resounding yes, who respond with their whole beings like a four-year-old rolling down an aisle of the church because music stirs his heart. Mary sings to us, "With all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior, because God has scattered and is scattering those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. God has pulled and is pulling the powerful down from their thrones. God has lifted up and is lifting up the lowly. God has filled and is filling the hungry with good things and has sent the rich empty away. God shows this mercy from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. All this has happened, is happening, and will continue to happen. My friends, given Mary's song, we have good reason to say yes to God with our whole selves. We have good reason. And it is through our saying yes that God works in the world. Now, I believe so fully in the power of God that I believe that God's lyric of abundance persists in spite of us, in spite of our being stuck as a people, as a culture, as the whole of humanity in the myth of scarcity. However, God's lyric of abundance multiplies, spreads like wind in the trees, like sun on the water, like the fertility of the earth in spring, when we say yes to it with our whole beings. Because then we are co-creating with God. The poet and musician Leonard Cohen, God rest his soul, echoes the voices of the poor ones and of Mary in his book of contemporary psalms, the Book of Mercy. I bet you didn't know Leonard Cohen wrote songs, psalms. From the Book of Mercy, he writes, take heart you who were born in the captivity of a fixed predicament, and tremble, you kings of certainty. Your iron has become like glass, and the word has been uttered that will shatter it. Listen, my friends, to Leonard Cohen, to Mary, to the Spirit of the living God. Take heart, my friends of God here at Plymouth. Take heart. We are so often stuck in our worldviews of not being and not having enough, stuck in our insecurities, our inadequacies, our sense of futility in resisting the darkness of the world's greed and the myth of scarcity. We unconsciously live in the certainty that the world is only as we see it on CNN or MSNBC or etc., etc., etc. But that is not the whole of reality. It's not even the tip of the iceberg of reality. God's lyric of abundance for all is the reality. It is the reality our world craves. And it is within our power to say yes with abandon and joy and love to God's abundance in the world. For the sake of our own souls and also for the sake of those who are truly poor, homeless, in refugee and immigration detention centers, in war zones. Like the first century poor ones who did not trust their own strength but relied in full confidence on the strength of God, like Mary, we can say yes. Each time we say yes with our whole selves to a ministry opportunity here at Plymouth, a volunteer position here, no matter how small or large, to a work of advocacy for the marginalized, to the work that we are called to do in the world, to the call of parenting and grandparenting, to friendship and intimate relationships. Each time we say yes to these things, we are tapping into God's big, ultimate yes to the world. Is it always easy? No. You know it is not always easy. It was not easy for Mary in any way, I imagine. Childbirth, parenting, the unjust death of your son by the government. These things are not easy. It has not always been easy for that four-year-old who rolled down the aisle of Central Congregational Church in Atlanta. At 32, this has not been an easy year for him. You know it's not easy to say yes to God. However, despite the tears and the struggles that life brings, saying yes brings joy in the deepest sense, for it is participating in love, which is God, which is Source, and which makes all things possible, even the impossible possible. As we finish this Advent season today and look toward Christmas Eve tomorrow, let us take a risk. Let us take a risk and say yes in ways we have not yet imagined. Who knows what opportunity will knock that can open up our lives to deep joy and love. May we let our wildest imaginations pray for, intend, plan for our full participation as individuals and as this community of faith in God's lyrically abundant and justice-making love. Let us be this be our plan for the new year. Remember the joy and the wild abandon of saying yes to life as your whole with your whole being as you roll down a grassy or a snowy hill? Remember that feeling? That's it. Say yes to God. Amen and amen.